he might have overdone it a little bit. About halfway through, he looked at me and said, "I think I overbooked this. I'm exhausted." And he had lost his voice, so I was doing all of the preaching for the first few days, so I was exhausted as well. But it was a good exhaustion, and so I'm going to go through very quickly and just show you some pictures. I'm going to try to give you a mix of understanding the physical life there as well as the spiritual life there. So you'll see some things that are particular to the church and being a Christian. You'll see some things that are just part of life. I'll try to explain some of those things. So here's Africa. This red circle is Zimbabwe. I mean, everyone can find South Africa usually, but Zimbabwe is just bordering it on the north side. For point of reference, South Africa is about the size of Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana. Those four states, you put them together, that's South Africa. Zimbabwe is about Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. Put those three states together, that's the size of Zimbabwe. So, you know, for the size of a country, it's not large, but it's definitely large for the size of a state. Here's a blow-up of Zimbabwe. Bulawayo was served as our base. That's where Patty and Sandy live. They have a house there. It's where Adam lives as well. It's a town of about 2 million people. So, town, it's a city. It's actually, when I looked, it's larger in population than Harare, the capital, which you can see in the northeast. But Bulawayo served as our base. The first trip was to Stanmore. Second trip was to Hoko. Our third trip, and these trips, what I'm calling trips, are into the bush. So no electricity, sleeping in a tent. Mawireless, if I have time, I'll explain to you why that's called Mawireless. And then we visited two congregations in the Chilocho area, Sikale and Mlagisa. We'll just get to them when we get there. So here's some pictures from Stanmore. First day on the road. You know, Adam told me about these, and I see one the first day. Roadblocks. The cops are looking for money. One way or another, they're trying to find some money. Most of the time, it's legitimate. They're looking for somebody who came across the border. They've got, you know, the vehicle stacked 20 feet high with goods. It's not road safe, so they ticket them and they get some money for that. Other times, they're looking for it a little different way. You know, here's your fine. You don't have your papers in order. Give me $5 and, you know, you're free to go. That happens a lot. So what a lot of the residents of the whole country have done is there's an email going around saying, here are the traffic violations and here are the fees. If they try to charge you something different, which you do pay the fee on the road, that is legitimate. You do that, but they are to give you a receipt. So if they call you and then they say, here's your fee, you pull out this paper. And if it doesn't match, there's a phone number on the bottom. You call right there in front of the officer. And I've talked to someone who did that, and it worked very well. The officer says, no reason to make that call. You know, just give me $10, I'll give you your receipt. So I didn't dare take a picture closer because you do not take pictures of anything pertaining to government in this country. They will think you're press. And I heard horror stories. You just don't take pictures of buildings, people, cops, even the airport. Just, you're not supposed to, but I did. So this is the church building in Stanmore. No roof, so we're putting on a temporary roof. The bricks are made out of, if you can see it, that's an anthill right there. The bricks are made out of dirt from that anthill. They bake the bricks. There's the structure. The tent, or the tarp, very necessary. It was about 105 degrees that day. It was just, that was the hottest we were there. So this is how many we had when we started. This was a meeting that Adam was invited to by these other preachers. This was not one that we set up for my trip. So we just went. I went along with him. And they found out, of course, that someone was visiting. So, you know, I spoke for about 8 hours the first day. But it starts on a Friday with a small group of people because most of the people who are coming are still on their way. You know, they're walking for a day to get there. And you'll see a picture at night. Most of the men are usually like out of the country trying to find work because the work in the country you're not going to get paid currency for. You know, you're going to get traded some food or something. If you want currency to go into the city and buy things, tools and goods that are necessary, you know, I mean, that's why South Africa is just going crazy trying to keep all the Zimbabweans out, because they're flooding over the border to try to get jobs for currency, and they will work for any wage just to get their hands on some currency, send it home to their wives and kids. So most of the congregations and most of the places in the bush, there's not a lot of men. The women and children really outnumber the men. And also in the churches it gets worse, because if a woman is led to Christ, the man can't really follow her, right? Because it's a pride thing. I mean, he can. We know he can, spiritually and physically. But culturally, if your wife becomes a Christian and then you're going to follow her example, that reflects very badly on you culturally, right? So it's a hard thing to overcome for these men to say, I'm going to follow my wife into the church. So women are converted, and then the men, they won't have anything to do with it. Plus, some of the issues are they don't want to feel responsible to a higher power for some of the things they're doing. Multiple wives, mistresses, things like that. So there are very few men in the churches, all the churches that I visited, mostly women. So this is that night. You can see how many people have come in by the night. Adam's up there teaching. That's Stanley translating on the right. You can't make any of this out. I just wanted to give you a feel for the number. There's Stanley the next morning, playing with the kids, always playing with the kids. Stanley, you cannot help but love Stanley. So this is the next day in the afternoon. We're starting to overflow the building at this point. You can't see it, but people are sitting outside the building. Again, that's Adam teaching. I cannot remember the name of the gentleman. You notice all the heads are down. We're not praying here. Everyone is taking notes. I took, I don't know how many, hundreds of pencils and pens and paper. I was almost all out the first meeting. It's just gone. People want to write down what you're saying because half of them don't have Bibles. They're going to go look at the Bibles later. They want to have the verses written down. So we tried to leave pens and things behind, but we also had to be mindful of the next places we were going. The women just sat on the ground. They always reserved the seats for the men. Even young men. Younger than me. These women, some of these women are 80 years old. And it's a straw mat, right? You see here? I mean, that's not comfort. But they sat there for, in the morning it'd be 4 hours, we'd break. In the afternoon it'd be another 3 hours and we'd break. And then at night we'd just go until we couldn't talk anymore. And they sat there. The kids would be asleep on the ground. And the women sitting right there on those mats. I never got used to that. I was only there for 2 weeks, but I did not get used to that. It was amazing. And you can see they've got pencil in hand, Bibles open. I mean, they're not just sitting there passively. So when we broke into groups, which we only did in Stanmore, that I remember, because there were about 140, 150 people there. So we needed to break up a little bit. The children met. This was the only shady place, really, outside the building, was under the tree. And we had taken some books and materials and things for the kids with stickers and things. They don't have any of you can't go into Bulawayo and buy that kind of stuff. Like you just go to Lifeway or whatever, around the corner. You can't go buy maps. You can't buy maps of the Bible. It's just simple little things you don't realize. You have no visual aids to try to show the children. But Adam did have some that he used here in Stanmore. So that was Stanmore. The next trip was to Hoko. And we'll just get right into it. So Adam's car is the red car there. Adam's car cannot go to Hoko. So we borrowed this truck. The truck kind of fell apart. This thing here, this guy here, I don't know what it's really for. It fell off. Just the jarring, it can't handle it. We borrowed it from Brewer. I can never remember Brewer's first name. The older men, well, I won't even say older, 40 and above, 45 and above, they call them by their last name. Stanley is Sitole. Gumpo is Gumpo. Brewer is Brewer, and that's all their last names. That's just how they refer to them. But Brewer is a preacher there in the Chilocho area. He loaned us this truck. That's called a track road, and it's a maintained track road. This is not a road that's out of maintenance. I'll show you one that's out of maintenance. You drive highway speeds on this. I don't. But Stanley and Adam do. This was very good condition road. Adam's car could have driven on this road. But you notice there's only one. You know, you come on, someone coming the other way, you have to pull off and pass each other. This is the road Adam's car can't drive on, and that's a bus stop. That's a bus stop in use. I asked him, I said, you know, is this left over from like the 50s or something, where there used to be buses out here? No, buses still travel this road and pick people up and drop people off. The name there, Cinderella, is the name of an old, a former farm. Robert, I can't get into all the politics of it because the history is too long, but Mugabe basically took all of the large industrial farms and broke them up and said, you know, you people who are running these large industrial farms are bad because you're oppressing everyone. So I'm going to kick you off and I'm going to break your farms up into homesteads and I'm going to plant people on those farms. Well, this Cinderella was one of those huge farms, and now it just refers to an area. In fact, one of the churches there is called the Cinderella Church. Another one is the Sunrise Church. But those used to be names of large farms that provided the basis of their economy, which is gone. So this is in Hoko. That's myself and Stanley. Stanley, I don't know how he did it. You know, I tell you, I speak for 8 hours, but then all the other hours Adam spoke, well, Stanley spoke for all of those hours. He translated for both of us everywhere we went except into Chilocho. And he just was amazing. As soon as you would pause, he's going. And then he stops. And you just know, by the way, he stops that he's done, and you just pick right up. I've never used a translator before, and it was the easiest thing because of it. Stanley's basically thinking in two languages constantly. And he knows what point you're making from the scriptures, you know. So even if you say a phrase that doesn't make sense, he'll just translate that into an Ndebele phrase that means the same thing on the go. It's really impressive. Here in Hoko, I think there were about 90 people. Again, you'll notice who's on the ground and who's in the chairs. You know, the women are on the ground. The men are in the chairs. It's not one of those things that says, you know, this is how we view women this much lower than men. I mean, the culture maybe is that way, but even within the church, it's more of like an honor. I'm going to honor the men of the congregation by sitting on the ground. And here in the States, we have kind of the opposite, right? We will honor the women the men will be sitting on the ground. I mean, we do the same thing, we just do it backwards here from them. So the thought is the same. It's honoring someone. It's not that I view myself, you know, as a second-class person, or that even they view me as a second-class person. It's trying to honor people. There's Adam. This is Enoch Nube. I have to say that. A little boast. I practiced that name. There are cliques in the Ndebele language, and I only got one of them. So the meeting in Hoko was at his homestead. All of these buildings you see in the back, they represent kind of rooms of a house, if you want to think of them that way. You know, there'll be a building for cooking, there'll be a building for gathering, there'll be a building for sleeping, a building for storage. Well, they're just kind of rooms. And you can see that this one is off the ground. You know, they've had to raise it up. Not all the buildings are off the ground, but the floors are dirt. You know, the floors are the ground. And so Enoch opened up his homestead for this meeting. He actually drove from Hoko to Stanmore for the meeting at Stanmore. So it's about a 4-hour drive to Bulawayo, and it's about two. So he drove about 6 hours from Hoko down to Stanmore for the first meeting, and he preached while he was there. And then he hosted us here in Hoko. So Enoch is 81 years old. I mean, he's out there and he's getting it done. He put me to shame. I mean, he would get into it when he's up there preaching. He's telling them. And Stanley, this was the great thing. When Enoch's preaching, Stanley's translating in English for just two people. Me and Adam. You know, there's 100 people there that know exactly what Enoch is saying, but Stanley is standing up there. I mean, he spoke the entire time. He didn't stop. So there's a homestead. That's just a home. Like if you were to take a picture of the house in the United States, that's what you take a picture of in the bush. That's just where they live. So that's Stanmore and Hoko. The wireless was a half-day meeting. You can see that it's headed northwest. That was on our way to Vic Falls. We took about a day and a half of true just vacation time. Went up to Vic Falls, saw the waterfalls, relaxed. It was about halfway through the two-week trip. But we stopped off in the wireless from about 10 till 4 and held sort of a half-day meeting. That would be considered a half-day. And it's called the wireless. And I don't have the picture in here, but there's a tower where all these phone lines and power lines and whatever lines would come into this one tower, and then they would be distributed to the various communities. Well, all of those wires are cut down and gone, so now they call this whole area Ma Wireless. You know, it's just from the English word wireless, the Ma is, you know, just making it a name or an indibale. This is a track road that is not maintained. This track road used to be the track road that went from Bulawayo to Vick Falls. I mean, on highway, it takes 5 hours to drive, so that's what, 500, 600 kilometers. This track road ran the whole distance. This is Ian showing us their watering hole. These are all over the place. Non-government organizations, you know, are over there constantly digging wells, putting in these wells. They happen to be very close to one. I mean, we just walked to it in a couple of minutes. Stanmore, no. They had to drive miles to get to the river, get river water, and bring it back and boil it and, you know, do whatever they could to it to try to make it safe. So they're in a very good situation in Ma Wireless. And in fact, the homestead that we met at was only a mile or two off the main road to Bulawayo. So that was quite convenient. This is the homestead in Ma Wireless we met at. It was the nicest homestead. I mean, you can see the patterns on the wall. The posts on the outside that hold the roof off the walls, that's kind of a thing for the west of Bulawayo. If you go east, back in Hoko, they don't do that. The roof rests on the house. But this was, you know, and you'll notice there's no dirt or grass or anything. I'm sorry, no dirt. No trash or grass or anything in there. They sweep that. Women will sweep that with a handheld broom. There's no stick. You know, they'll bend over and they'll sweep that whole area with a handheld broom. They'll keep it clean. That freaked me out. I saw that up there and I said, "Adam, tell me what that is." I knew what it was, but I had to hear it. So it's a, you know, solar panel about this big. I said, "What do they use that for?" He said, "They use it to charge the one cell phone. Because they're close enough to Bulawayo and they're close enough to the main road, they have cell coverage, so they keep a cell phone there in the homestead and they use this panel to keep it charged. So they can stay in touch, you know, with Stanley or Adam or Patty or whoever's calling, and they can call and get in touch with them quickly." This was the group in Ma Wireless. We all fit in the one room, which was pretty impressive. There were about 60 people there. And then we went to Vick Falls and came back, and this was the crazy Sunday. This was the Sunday we went to Maguegue, we went to Kensington, we went to Hillside, and I think preached for 4 or 5 times. So this is Maguegue. Stanley's translating. Oh, by the way, all of my lessons were from Daniel. Only the first 6 chapters. When we got to Stanmore and Stanley kind of figured out that I was going through Daniel, he said, "Boy, I'm excited to hear, you know, Daniel's, you know, chapter 7, 8, 9, 10. I said, "Stanley, I'm not going there. I'm stopping at 6, and if I run out of material, I'm going to go into the New Testament." So this was one of the churches in the city in Bulawayo, Maguegue. That's where Stanley's a member. The women sit alone, you know, not alone, but separate by choice. They just sit on one side of the building. That's Stanley, my translator. That's the last time I saw him, was that Sunday. Then we went to Kensington. They also have a building. They're just south of the city. There's where the children meet. There was a smaller group, 40 or 50. And then finally, Sagale and Mlagisa in the Chilocho area. That's a road we were on for about 2 hours on the way out there. You also go highway speeds. The truck didn't have a working speedometer, but I'm convinced we were doing over 70 on that thing. I mean, we were moving. It wouldn't go into fourth gear, which I'm very thankful for. So it was in third gear doing about 4,000 RPM, you know, the whole time. And you do get behind trucks, and you do pass them. we passed that truck. This is the Guayi River. This is what I saw constantly. Whenever you'd come to a bridge that said the name of a river, once you got on the bridge, it was just sand. I mean, I did not see in the 2 weeks there, except for Vic Falls, I did not see a river with water in it. That is a Scotch cart. That's a four-cylinder single axle. There's a four-cylinder. You know, the number of donkeys is the cylinders. That's just how they refer to them. That's how people not necessarily get around themselves, though some do, but it's mainly for hauling things. That's a single cylinder. I only saw one of those, so I had to get a picture quick. This is the Guayi River near where we stopped for a meeting. You can see the tracks barely. Those are not car tracks or tire tracks. That's cattle tracks, the cattle going back and forth out to pasture and back, because there's just no water in the river to prevent them. Sagale was the first place we met. This is the building, which I thought was pretty cool. They crafted into the floor the benches. I mean, that, you know, it works. You know, it was pretty nice. Everyone had a place to sit because they don't have chairs. So they just said, well, all right, when we build a building, we're going to build these things into the floor. And that worked out pretty well. This was the headman. This was actually, Adam said, the first headman he met since he's been in Zimbabwe. Each area has a headman, and he's kind of like the mayor, but, you know, he's not really elected the way we think of it. But he's responsible for the goings-on, and if you want to do something, you go talk to the headman. So he approved our meeting here. He knew about the church and all these kind of things, but if you want to hear about it, there's a whole, you know, kind of etiquette for meeting a headman and what you do. But the big tree is his, and that's a big tree. So that's where all of the, you know, all the things are carried out. All the meetings are carried out, the secular meetings, for taking care of the area and what things are going on. It's kind of like City Hall under that tree. This was the group. This is Solomon on the left. So Solomon was my translator there in the Chilocho area. Took some pictures of lightning. The first rain I think they had in 7 weeks. It was late. Everything was dry. No one was planting. And I slept in the back of the truck because we left the windows open in the tent. Everything in the tent got soaked, so we slept in the truck, and I got the back. There was the area. There's the tents. So when we're in the bush, this is where we're sleeping normally. And that's where Patty and Sandy are sleeping normally. You know, Adam showed me these really nice cots. I was like, man, those are nice cots. And then he almost like apologetically, he's like, yeah, Mom and Dad, you know, they just can't sleep on the ground anymore. And I was like, what? Well, I mean, what is Patty, 70 or 71? So anyway, yeah, they've upgraded to cots when they sleep out in the bush. Lagisa was down the road about 30 minutes. Again, some more Daniel. There were more people here, I think about 70. We had a lot of interesting questions here, and everyone posed. They were meeting in a schoolhouse. Lots of the questions are very pragmatic. You know, my family is doing this, you know, when they go to a funeral. They're sacrificing a goat to the ancestors. Can I go to the funeral? What do I do if I'm at the funeral and they do it? You know, I mean, just, you know, things like this. Or, you know, why aren't miracles happening today? I mean, I'm reading about them in the Bible and I don't see them around me. You know, what's the deal? So, different questions than really we get here. Questions we get here are more doctrinal. You know, what does this mean? You know, why was Jesus baptized? I mean, things like that. But over there, it's like, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow differently? You know. These are the guys from Lagisa. That's Solomon here. And that's Philip. He's the preacher in that area. And then there's Solomon and Adam as we're parting. So some people ask me about food. I'm not going to go through all of this. That's called samp. It's like hominy. That's like grits. It's called sudza. That's goat stomach. It's not good. That's goat meat. That's pretty good. And then there's cabbage on the right. That's what it looks like on the plate. That's breakfast. It's just bread and tea. If we think about it, you know, we bring butter or jam with us. But if not, you just... And this is sugar. And you do need that much sugar because it's not refined. You need like 6 teaspoons to make it sweet. We've got 10 minutes until 6, so I'm running out of time. All right, so I also visited Cape Town for one weekend, and that felt like a vacation. I only had to preach 2 lessons. So, you know, Craig is not in this, but that's his dog, Zara. So he's represented. Robin is just buried. I mean, he has so much to do. He could only stay for the service Sunday morning and then had to leave and go conduct services at other congregations around Cape Town. He imparted this piece of information to me, and he was not at all bitter about it. But he said, you know, think about this. He said, you know, there's 8 or 10 million people in Zimbabwe, and there were 22 gospel preachers who visited Zimbabwe last year. And there's 4 million people in Cape Town, and there were 2 gospel preachers who visited Cape Town last year. He said, now, I understand that there's need. He said, but if you talk about the amount of work to be done, there's a lot of work to be done here too. And if you can take one thing back, tell people, you know, come to Cape Town and do some work. Come to Cape Town and visit. Just come to Cape Town. So I've delivered that message. There's Craig. We all dressed alike, not planned. This is the congregation I visited also, a mother and her 5 daughters. They are a congregation. They only meet on Sunday nights because they work 14 to 16 hours every day, 7 days a week. So we went there on Sunday night to visit with them. And I visited with them also during the World Cup, so I went back to see them again. That was nice. I'm going to have to skip the hymns. I'm sorry. Danny, if you can hear me, do not go to the hymns. Okay. Chile and Argentina. We have to do this quickly as well. So Christiana went down with her dad and mom to Chile and Argentina back in October 2010. Just so you know, Chile's that long, skinny one on the left. Argentina's on the right. We'll see that. The area of work was mainly around Santiago, but Toll and Emilio did go down to Talca. Now, the church in Talca is about 9 hours by bus from the nearest congregation. So they really appreciate having people come visit them. These places are some of the places that Christiana visited with Toll. La Mache, La Cruz, Quillota are where the churches are. San Felipe now has a congregation of 7. Toll baptized 3 people there recently, so now they have 7 people. Viña del Mar is kind of the large city that's close to there. So there's Toll and Emilio. Emilio is the preacher who works in that area, but he works all over South America with churches there. And this is the women's class that Christiana and her mom conducted while they were there in La Mache. I don't know if you can see it. That's La Mache. And then this is La Cruz. No, this is also La Mache. This is the church in the mountains. Christiana describes churches as in the mountains or not in the mountains. So I couldn't really figure out, you know, I guess it's because of distance. If you're up there, you're going to meet by yourself. So this is the one in the mountains of La Mache. And this is in La Cruz. That's Fernando on the left. I believe he's the preacher in La Cruz. And then there's Emilio in Toll. This is the church in La Cruz. This is a gospel meeting that was in Quillota. There were about 20 people who gathered in someone's home. They said, let's have a gospel meeting. So they held it in their home. And then there was Argentina. She took a trip. So there's the place we were just talking about that's on the coast there. There's Villa Mercedes in Argentina. It's a 15-hour bus ride. So there's the national boundary there. Chile on the left, Argentina on the right. Church building. There was the ladies' class, again, they were having. And then there's the church. This is David. He's the preacher there. He's in his mid-30s, and he does work kind of like Emilio all over, wherever he can get to by bus. He will work. And I actually had some more information on David very quickly. Yes, while they were there, he was receiving about $250 a month support, supporting a family of 6 or 7. Also working as a photographer on the side, and preaching and traveling to churches. The nearest other church is about 5 hours away. So he also works at this congregation when he can. Comodoro Rivadavia, 24-hour bus ride to get there. There's 12 Christians there. So, I mean, they're very remote. So if you have the willingness and the desire to visit some of these congregations, please do. And these are some of the possibilities that Christiana mentioned she's trying to do for this year. So if you are interested in going down with Christiana, get a hold of her. She's planning to travel. I think she said she has 4 weeks of vacation this year. So that's pretty significant. That's it. Thank you for your time.